Hi everyone, this is Olivia, and I want to welcome you to a new episode of Soaking in the Sunlight. Last week, I was able to talk with Bishop and Pastor McQueen about their marriage and about how God has kept them throughout the years. They recently celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary, and so if you haven't gotten the chance to listen to that episode on YouTube, it's a video podcast, I highly recommend it. Please pop over on there on the Soaking in the Sunlight YouTube page and you'll see it right there. It is definitely a treat. All right, so once you're back, make sure you're back here to listen to this particular episode. And today I want to talk about how I had a speech impediment. Yes, little old Olivia had a speech impediment. And this was when I was in preschool. You know, I was kind of just minding my business. I didn't really know what was going on because, you know, I was in preschool. And I just remember one day I was walking around with some lady, and to me, you know, I just thought it was a time for me to talk with someone, that's all. And I actually enjoyed our conversations, but I believe that was just a part of the speech therapy that I needed. So this was the nature of, I guess, the speech impediment that I had. I could not pronounce S's. So for example, if I said I wanted a snack, instead I would say I want a knack. Or if I saw a snake, I would say that's a nake, you know. So I needed help in that way. I needed that sort of assistance to kind of get me back on track and to help me in my development. And so it's actually kind of funny because when I got older, my mom was telling me, she was like, they told me that you needed speech therapy. And I was like, I don't know. Like, what's wrong with my baby? What's going on? But honestly, in the end, the Lord worked things out for me. He delivered me from the speech impediment. And for whoever's listening out there, if you also have a speech impediment, know that the Lord can help you. He can make you whole. He can heal you. And, you know, I'll be praying for you out there because the Lord cares about you. And if you are a child of God, He can use you in whatever context that you're in. So stand strong. And I'm just a testimony of that, of how God can put you back on track if you have a speech impediment. Okay, so why am I telling you this? Why am I sharing this with you? Well, this story reminds me of Moses' story in the Bible. Now, if we go on over to the book of Exodus, we see the story of Moses and everything like that. But for now, I want to focus more specifically on the point where Moses is called by God to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Yes, we have that lovely moment right there. And basically, in these verses that I want to focus on, when we go on to Exodus 4, verses 10 through 13, I want to focus on kind of Moses' response to the Lord's call on his life. And for clarity's sake, I'm going to read from the Amplified Version of the Bible. So we have Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. And if you're able to follow along in your Bible, that is great. If you're driving, please do not follow along with me. Thank you very much. You can follow along later when you're on stable ground. All right. So Exodus 4, verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I'm not a man of words, eloquent, fluent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. For I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and will teach you what you shall say." But he said, "Please, my Lord, send the message of rescue to Israel by someone else, whomever else you will choose." And so I want to stop right there. That was from verses 10 through 13. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 through 13. Okay. And so with that being said, you know, Moses here, he's saying to God, you know, "I have an issue with my speech." Or at least Moses thinks that he has an issue with his speech. He thinks there's an issue with his speech to the point that it can stop him from doing what the Lord wants him to do. But the Lord literally in verse 12 just said, "Now then go, and I will be with your mouth and will teach you what you shall say." And so the Lord is telling him right there, I promise to be with you. I promise to never leave you nor forsake you. I promise to give you the words to say. I promise, you know, to not just leave you hanging out there saying, humana, 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 humana. I'm there to help you. But Moses didn't receive that initially. And so, you know, I believe, you know, sometimes we're kind of find ourselves in a similar situation as Moses. We feel like we have a sort of weakness. We feel like we have some sort of disability that can stop us from doing what the Lord has called us to do. But the Lord can use anybody. And that's one of the ways that he can show his might and power through us. Because, you know, at that point, it can no longer be us being, it can no longer be us just saying, hey, you know, I feel inadequate. You know, I feel powerless. But you know what? The Lord is my power. He showed up for me when I spoke that day. He showed up for me when I had no energy left to face the day. He helped me, you know, when I had to preach. He helped me when I had to teach. He helped me when I needed to witness, you know. So it will never be this thing of like saying, oh, I did it because I'm so eloquent, because I am the best at teaching, or I'm the best at preaching, because then God doesn't get the glory in that. It's us trying to get the glory and us trying to get, you know, the attention or what's due to the Lord. And so with that, you know, it's really important to kind of realize, okay, I have this weakness, I have this issue, but you know what? The Lord is the one that's going to help me with this. And yeah, there are things that I notice in my life that I'm like, I lack in this. I have a weakness in that. You know, Lord, help me improve in this area as well. You know, and the Lord is there to help me with that. You know, the Lord allowed, you know, the speech impediment that I had a long time ago to go away. You know, and I'm grateful that he allowed that to happen. You know, it's all from God. It's not me. You know, so I'm just grateful that he is so faithful. And just like how he was faithful in helping Moses, he allowed Aaron, his brother, to speak for Moses. But the Lord was giving Moses the information to Aaron so that Aaron could share it with the people. It wasn't like God said, okay, Moses, I won't use you. I'll use Aaron instead. No, God said, all right, I'll give you Aaron. He'll speak for you, but you're still going to be the main guy that gets this information, because I've called you, you know. So I just think it's really cool that God did that for Moses, and God can do that for us. Even when we feel like we're lacking in something, even when we feel inadequate, you know, and that's just the enemy too, just trying to make us feel down, trying to make us feel like we're nothing, trying to make us feel like, oh, you lack in this, you're weak in that. But his strength is made perfect in our weakness, you know. So we can't just feel like, okay, I'm inadequate and that's it. Like, we have to keep going, because God wants us to do something great for him, whether it is just witnessing, whether it is, you know, giving care packages to college students, whether it is, you know, giving care packages to missionaries, or feeding the homeless, or, you know, teaching a Bible study, or, you know, preaching, or sharing the gospel in just creative ways. You know, the Lord has something for all of us to do, and he wants, you know, those willing workers. So, you know, I just think it's really cool, again, that this story of Moses in the Old Testament can still be an encouragement to us now, because the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so the Bible is still relevant, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It is still there to give us guidance, you know. So if you ever hear anyone say, oh, you know, I don't pay attention to the Old Testament, we don't need that anymore, don't listen to them. We need the Old Testament and the New Testament, okay? So that's just a little tidbit there. But yeah, just to wrap things up, If you feel like you're lacking in something, if you feel like that lack is could prevent you from doing what God has called you to do, the Lord will show you what to do. The Lord will be with you. The Lord will be with your mouth like he was with Moses. The Lord will give you strength. The Lord will give you what to say, you know, so the Lord will put people in your life to encourage you, to help you fulfill that task, you know, so it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I'm excited to even one day, who knows, I may get to meet some of y'all, hear about what God, you know, has done in your life as you are fulfilling the call of God on your life, you know, so yeah. And again, as always, as I'm growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'm growing as well, you know, so I just want to continue to grow in God, and I know that he'll help me on my journey as well. Okay, awesome. So you might be listening out there and you might be like, okay, Olivia, you shared about Moses, you shared about how God was with him, gave him words to say, but I don't know about Christianity. I don't know about God. I don't know about Jesus. You know, who is he? Well, I would like to introduce you to him. Now, this is where we get to the most important part of the podcast. Okay, so listen up. You know, if you're distracted, take a moment to pause, to take a listen, to really be tuned in right now, because we're getting to the really juicy part of the podcast. If you did not pay attention to me at all for the past 12 minutes, this is the time to tune in. All right, ready? Okay. So who is Jesus? Jesus is the Savior of the world. He died on the cross for our sins. And the Bible talks about how the wages of sin is death. And sin is disobedience to God. And so the Bible talks about, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So no matter how good you think you are, no matter how many good deeds you do, no matter how many puppies you feed, no matter how many homeless people you reach out to, that can never save you from your sins. And the Bible talks about how the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so when we talk about the wages of sin, you know, sin pays. Sin definitely pays, but there are consequences to it. It feels good in the moment, but then the consequences later, you know, the consequences in the immediate, where you might get in trouble for what you do. Consequences where, you know, you may cry from it. Consequences where you feel angry, you're upset, relationships are broken, your heart is broken. So those are like the immediate consequences. And perhaps you come out completely unscathed. Maybe you say, Olivia, you know, I've done different things in my life, but, you know, I've kind of gotten away with it. You know, no one's caught me. I'm not bothering nobody. You know, this is my life and I'm not bothering anybody. So why should I care about whether I have sin or not? Well, I talked about the immediate consequences that you might have happened to come out unscathed from. Well, there's some eternal consequences. So, you know, once time is up for you, you're either going to end up in heaven or in hell. And hell is a place of eternal torment without the presence of God. And so everything, so that place is just completely void of the presence of God. Anything that is good, anything that is pure, anything that is holy will not be there. And so that is a place of torment for someone in eternity. And so how do people end up in hell? Well, they reject God. They disobey his word. They disobey what's written in the Bible. They never accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior in the pardon of their sins. They never repent of their sins. Repentance where you say, you know what, I'm turning away from these sins. I'm turning away from these wrong deeds and I'm going to follow the Lord. You know, that's how someone ends up in hell, because they rejected Jesus Christ. And so if you may have never verbally said, oh, I reject Jesus Christ, but for every time that you decide not to place your faith in Jesus Christ, every time that you choose not to repent, those are moments when you reject Jesus Christ, when you continue in sin, when you say, I don't need that. I'll push off salvation. I'll push off accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. That's rejecting Jesus Christ, you know? So I'm here today to introduce you to Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins so you don't have to go to that horrible place called hell, so that you can have in this present life a relationship with him. You might be listening to this and you might be feeling a void in your life. You might be feeling like, you know, you need to travel to feel fulfilled in life. You need to have that fancy big time job to feel fulfilled in your life. You might feel like, I need to have this expensive car to feel fulfilled in my life. And who knows, you might have reached there already, but you still feel that void. You feel that void while you're getting to that point, and you feel that void even when you've already gotten it. And so I want to let you know that no material thing, no person, nothing can fulfill that void in your life except for Jesus Christ. You know, our society is very filled with material things, with, you know, what we can get now, with trying to control our destiny. But I need to be honest with you, you can't control your destiny. You know, so with people just throwing different material things out there and whatnot, like, there's just so many things out there to try to get you distracted, to make you feel like, you know, in order to be fulfilled in life, you need things, you need stuff, you need people, you need all these different stuff. But that's not how you receive that fulfillment in life. You know, we were made to worship God. We were made to be in his presence. And ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, when they disobeyed God by eating the forbidden fruit, they ended up being separated from God. Because Adam and Eve, before their sin, they were pure before God, so they could just be in his presence and everything like that. But ever since they sinned, they were separated from God. And so fast forward in time, you end up with Jesus, who is God in human form, you know, 100% man, 100% God, coming down to earth to experience what we feel, to experience our pain, to live a life, a human life, without flaw, without sin, so that he could be the perfect sacrifice for our sins on the cross and bear all of our sins, so that we could have the opportunity to have that relationship with God. And also another important detail, Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later, and he rose with all power, and he is coming back again for a church, for more specifically to break it down, for Christians without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He's looking for believers that have followed him, that have sought him, that have said, you know what, God, I repent of my sins, and I am no longer looking back at my past life. I'm looking to serve you and to follow you always. You know, I'm looking to please you in all my ways, to love you, and just to keep your commandments, you know. So God wants that, and Jesus is coming back for that church, for those Christians, you know. And Christians make up the church. You know that church you might know around the corner from your house? That's not the church. That's the church building. But the people that make up that church, the people that go there, you know, they make up the church. They make up the body of Christ. You know, so I also want to add too, for anyone who's in the body of Christ, they have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and they seek to follow him with their whole hearts. You know, so that's the other thing I just wanted to share with y'all. And so, you know, I gave you a breakdown of who Jesus is and what he's done. And I know that he can save you from your sins. He saved me from my sins. And I'm so glad that I have that relationship with him. You know, I can't imagine my life without Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know where I would be without Jesus Christ right now. I'm a 27-year-old woman, you know, like, and I it's just crazy to imagine, to even try to imagine where I would be without Christ in this day and age that we're in, you know, for 20-some-year-old woman, you know, so You know, yeah, so I'm just grateful that God has kept me, and I'm grateful that He's given me a mind to live holy, a mind to live right. And so I know that He can do that for you too. My friend out there, you know, I don't want to see you go to hell. You know, I know this is heavy, but I don't want to see you go there. I don't want anybody to go there. I want everybody to go to heaven. The Lord says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, you know, it's, you know, we gotta, you know, share the gospel. For those who are Christians out there, we gotta share the gospel of Jesus Christ so that others know the truth, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but by Him. No one can get to heaven but through Jesus Christ. I know there are a lot of religions out there, a lot of beliefs out there, you know, but they won't lead to heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And so I want to share with you right now how you can come to know the Lord in the pardon of your sins in order to become a Christian. And how you do that is simply through a prayer, simply a prayer of repentance to the Lord and just confession of your sins, you know. And I will have you pray this prayer, but you gotta mean it from your heart. You know, you can't just say it and then, you know, go back to what you were doing before, the sins that you were doing before. You gotta mean it and want it for yourself. Okay, so if you just repeat this prayer after me and mean it from your heart. So, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I am in need of your salvation. I am sorry for the wrong that I have done. I repent and turn away from my sins. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and that God raised you from the dead 3 days later. And I believe that you are coming back for me. Lord Jesus, please fill me with your precious Holy Ghost. And Lord, I will live for you one day at a time for the rest of my life. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. So if you pray that prayer, I'm super excited for you. And actually, I'm just grateful, you know, I'm just thankful to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That you are now a part of the body of Christ. You know, I'm glad that I get to call you my brother, my sister, wherever you are out there in this great big wide world. I'm so excited that you're saved now and that you know the Lord personally now. You started a personal relationship with the Lord and it can only grow from here. And so with that, I want to kind of give you a little bit tidbits on how to develop your relationship with Christ. You know, one is praying. That's having a conversation with God. It doesn't have to sound fancy. It doesn't have to be formal, as long as it's sincere. And who knows, maybe you are a very formal person. So as long as it's sincere, that is what God will honor. You know, just talk through Him throughout the day. You know, have that conversation with Him. You know, let Him know what you're struggling with. He will help you. He will guide you. You know, so that's what I wanted to talk about. The other thing is reading your Bible. In the show notes, I'll have a link to an online Bible, and I highly recommend you get a Bible in print because the Bible in print is more reliable than technology. The power goes out, Wi-Fi goes out, no Bible, but print Bible, you'll have it. Just get a flashlight and you'll be able to read. with that being said, tidbit, I personally read King James Version and also Amplified to try to give me some more background on the Bible. Okay, so then the other important thing is to find a Bible-believing church. And also in the description, I will have links to churches that you can follow to kind of get an idea of what to look for. And if you are in the area, please feel free to go so you can have a physical church to go to that is Bible believing, that talks about God, that talks about sin, that talks about salvation, you know, that's well balanced in the gospel. And so the churches that I'll link below, they'll kind of give you an idea of what to look for. And if you are in the area, please feel free to go. And so, yes, those are some things that I wanted to cover for you all today. And I pray that it blesses you. You know, continue to follow the podcast for more encouragement, for more scriptures, for more testimonies, you know, of what God is doing in our lives, and doing in his people's lives, so that it can be an encouragement to you. And I pray that you'll always be encouraged from it, and that we'll always grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, taking this journey one day at a time, one step at a time, through God's grace. All right. So I pray y'all have an awesome day. Stay tuned next week for another episode of Soaking in the Sunlight. I'll be looking forward to seeing y'all there. And you can also follow me on social media. Social media handles are down below in the show notes down there. And I pray that y'all have a blessed day. Remember to be encouraged and to stay encouraged and to always soak in the sunlight, because Jesus is the only light. Love y'all. Let's shine for him today. God bless. Bye-bye.